Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brooke Gladstone in for Brian Lehrer. 47 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson said this.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, members of the Cabinet, distinguished guests, my fellow Americans. Today is a triumph for freedom as huge as any victory that's ever been won on any battlefield.
The triumph was signing the Voting Rights Act. It was aimed at combating some of the local laws and regulations like literacy tests that deprived African Americans of ballot access. Lately, we're seeing a new round of local laws that claim to be about improving the voting process, but my next guests question whether or not that will be the impact. I'm joined now by one of the distinguished guests mentioned by LBJ at the signing ceremony in 1965, Andrew Young, civil rights activist who went on to become the mayor of Atlanta, U.S. Congressman, and U.S. Ambassador. Welcome, Ambassador Young.
Very good.
Thank you. And here in the studio, I'm joined by Michael Waldman, executive director of the Brennan Center for Justice, whose study of the new laws is raising the alarm. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
Great to be with you, Brooke.
Okay, so Ambassador Young, could you begin by describing the problem that the Voting Rights Act sought to correct? And
well,
basically,
there was,
go ahead.
There was a systematic exclusion of people simply on the basis of race. And that was all across the South, most of the states that had been a part of the Confederacy. And my younger brother, for instance, was a dentist and a lieutenant in the Navy, and when he got out and went to register to vote, he passed the state dental examination, and they told him he flunked the literacy test to register to vote.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was flagrant abuse. That was a denial of the basic human right, civil right, of the right to vote.
So tell me what the feeling was like in the room when it was signed.
Well, I tell you, it's the only time, it wasn't when it was signed, but when Lyndon Johnson made that speech to the Congress, it's the only time I saw Martin Luther King shed a tear. And we were just so overjoyed to hear him say that everybody knows we all know the problem is not knowing what's right. The problem is doing what's right. We all know what's right.
Did the act work?
What's that?
Did the act work?
It has. And you have more black elected officials now across those southern states than you do in the north. You also, I might say, have more black students per capita in University of Georgia, University of Alabama, Mississippi, Ole Miss, and LSU. There have been tremendous changes because of the voting rights. And I think that Lyndon Johnson was wrong when he said that it would cost his party the South for 20 years. Yes, the Republicans did take over many states, but I think that was mostly because Democrats gave up on them, and we did produce two Southern presidents, both Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, I think as a result of the Voting Rights Act. So it's been a mixed bag. The thing now, though, is looking back, what I see is a different kind of repression and suppression. And now in order to get my driver's license renewed, which is my only picture ID, I have to have a whole series of papers, and I have to go online.
Ambassador Young, here is where I want to bring in Michael Waldman of the Brennan
Good.
Center, who's been studying all of this. What kinds of laws is the ambassador talking about? Michael.
Well, it is an honor to be talking about them with Ambassador Young, who played such a central role in this really pivotal element of the effort in our country to live up to our founding creed, the concept that all men are created equal, which we first heard articulated in the Declaration of Independence. That's challenged right now by these new voting laws, which roll back and make it harder for people to vote, certainly not going back yet to the days of the literacy tests and what we saw before 1965, but the first time we've moved in the wrong direction in a lot of places at once since the Jim Crow era. In 22 states over the past 2 years, states have passed laws that in one way or another make it harder to vote. It ranges from ending Election Day registration in Maine to Florida laws that actually made it almost impossible for nonpartisan voter registration groups to register voters, such as the League of Women Voters had to shut down its operation, to laws in a number of states requiring a very particular kind of government ID in order to vote. It's basically requiring a driver's license. And, you know, for so many people, they hear that and they think, well, what's the problem? I have a driver's license. Everybody's got a driver's license. It turns out that 1 in 10 eligible voters in this country just don't have that particular piece of government paperwork, and they have every right to vote, too, and it's going to make it a lot harder for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you get back to the fact that the one thing we didn't consider was the fact that the worst day in the country to vote is Tuesday in November. That most of our European friends and democracies vote on weekends, and they get 80-90% turnout of voters. But in this country, we're lucky to have a third of the people participating in a presidential election.
Right. Some people say that it is just because they don't think their vote is worth much. But Michael, what about this 1 in 10? Where do you get that number, and who are these people?
Well, the Brennan Center for Justice, which is affiliated with NYU Law School, we did a study where we actually hired a public opinion firm to ask people if they had that kind of ID. And that was the number we found, but that's consistent with every other study, including just most recently when the Philadelphia Inquirer newspaper looked at the new voter ID law in Pennsylvania. It found the same exact percent, which in that state, if that law stays on the books, which it might not, so that's up to 750,000 people who don't have that kind of ID. And, you know, I'm not actually opposed to the concept of requiring people prove who they are. Nobody wants election fraud. There certainly have been shenanigans throughout American history when it comes to elections. I'm opposed to requiring ID that lots of people don't have. And that, unfortunately, is the situation we're seeing today. That's the bad news. The good news, last year those laws, we did a study and estimated that they could make it at least harder to vote for 5 million Americans. That was last year. This year, the new laws have hit a wall of opposition from courts, from judges, from the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, and we're actually winning a lot of those battles. So it's going to be hand-to-hand combat, unfortunately, over this basic right between now and November.
But we shouldn't have to fight for the right to vote is a moral obligation for citizens. And the problem is now, in terms of the amount of money in the system, we're paying more money per vote because we have made it so difficult to vote, and because only half of the American public that's eligible to vote is registered to vote, and usually less than half of that group votes, which means with 15% of the vote, you might elect a president. And then the president has no mandate, no consensus from the general public to pursue any kind of program. And it's one of the things that's making our democracy flounder.
You're exactly right. Voter apathy is a far greater genuine threat to our democracy.
I don't like to call it apathy, because when you put it on the worst day in the week, you know, and you make it difficult, they're closing voting polls. I went to the polls to vote the other day, the 31st, and half of the people at my poll have been changed to another poll. Now, that kind of moving people around makes it difficult to vote.
There's a whole separate discussion we can have about how to motivate people to vote. In Australia, they'll fine you if you don't vote. It's mandatory.
It
is the case that if we could get past these partisan voting wars, we could modernize our voting system and bring it into the 21st century and address the very problems that Ambassador Young is talking about. If we move to a system in this country where every single eligible citizen was automatically registered to vote, and that's how they do it in Canada and Britain and so many other places.
What do you think about the op-ed in the New York Times today by a UCLA law professor, Richard Hassan, who suggests that there be a national registration and a free voter ID card? That way, anybody who wants one can get one fairly easily. You don't deny that there is a problem with multiple registrations in several states and that there is a security issue to deal with.
The voter registration system in this country right now is ramshackle. You have multiple registrations. You have half the people who are eligible not registered, and you have lots of people who are eligible registered in multiple locations. The answer is to use the computerized lists that exist, make them accurate, and make sure that everybody who's eligible gets to vote. And I think the op-ed is an interesting one. The reality is that we do elections in 50 states, but you could have federal legislation, including a bill that was proposed by the Democratic leadership of Congress that would set national standards to register every voter. And it wouldn't be a national ID and a national registration, but it would do the same thing. And that would make a huge difference. It would cost less. It would register tens of millions of people. And for people who are really genuinely worried about voter fraud, it solves that problem, too, because Mickey Mouse, you know, does not have a Social Security number. He's not on the rolls.
Ambassador Young, the Voting Rights Act was directly a response to African Americans being denied the right to vote. These particular laws aren't aimed specifically at African Americans, right? Go ahead.
Their vote suppression efforts, and so they make it difficult for senior citizens. For instance, they make it difficult for college students. I criticized South Africa when I was at the UN and got in trouble because I said, you know, I don't think it's a legitimate government when less than 25% of the people have the right to vote. Well, our government is on the verge of that right now. In terms of less than 25% of the people cast their votes in these elections, and so it's a matter of us being proud of the legitimacy of our democracy and the freedom of our land so that democracy really does work. If we're going to make it work in other countries, we've got to make it work for ourselves.
Let's go to John in Brooklyn. John, we have about a minute. Tell me about what you think a solution could be.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, as I said, we only have 3 months to this election, and I applaud Ambassador Young's idea of a national ID and all of that, but we don't have the time to really affect that really right now. So I think that all the effort should be in our community organization and groups to make sure that we can help these people to get the appropriate IDs that they need, because, you know, obviously we want to look at it at both sides. Sure, we don't want voter fraud. We don't want people who are not eligible to vote to vote and do that. So we can accomplish that, yes. But let us mount a concerted effort right now for these next 3 months or 2 months to really help these people to get non-driver's ID if they can't get a driver's license, to get a non-driver's ID or some ID to help them to vote, because it's crucial that we get these people to counteract.
Okay, John.
He's exactly right, but we were deliberately raising this now for the next president. We didn't want it to be seen like a partisan complaint. And so we're saying that the next president of the United States on August the 6th of 2013, he needs to have cleaned this up.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Ambassador. Thank you very, very much. Ambassador Andrew Young and Michael Waldman, Executive Director of the Brennan Center of Justice, thank you too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Coming up after the news, NPR reporter Deb Amos on the latest in Syria.